In a minute, Rachel will be coming to talk to us about pregnancy choices, but first we're going to hear from the scriptures. Thank you, Maureen.
Psalm 139, verses 1 to 18. You have searched me, O Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
Good morning. Can everyone hear me? Am I on? Yes. Brilliant. I'm really grateful for this opportunity this morning to speak to you about the work of Pregnancy Choices. I've worked there for some time and it's one of my passions. So it's what not to say is the problem today. Okay, I'd like to open with prayer. Lord, you are the creator and giver of life. We thank and praise you that we are all made in your image. You are a God who heals the brokenhearted. Thank you that you love us as we are and you want the best for us. You don't judge us, you just love us and you pour your grace upon us. Help us this morning to be open to what you might want to say to us. Thank you that you are with us in whatever you have asked us to do for you. Okay, so this is our logo, Pregnancy Choices, which is on our literature. this is the psalm that Maureen's kindly just read for us. This is a few verses from it, from verse 13. This is the verse that always pops to mind when I think about this work. It talks of the mysterious and amazing ways that God creates a baby in the womb. Also from Jeremiah 1 verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. God knew us before we even had a physical body. That's really hard for me to comprehend. So the work I'm involved in revolves around babies, whether very wanted or actually unwanted. Sometimes we've been able to celebrate with those who after miscarriage have had another baby. Other times we mourn with those who've lost a baby. Other times we walk alongside those trying for a baby. Often, we see women who are just in a state of confusion because they have a crisis pregnancy. I feel that God's heart breaks when society doesn't value life. Sometimes, I get a small glimpse of that, and it hurts, but I'm sure that's only a really small glimpse of the pain that God feels. God is gracious and helps me with the work that he's asked me to do. Verses 8 to 12 provides me with assurance that wherever I go and whatever work he puts before me, he will be with me and his hand will guide me. Sometimes the battle seems dark, but God shines his light into the situation. I've got a couple of quotes. I was given this book at a conference, and it's called Just Ten. It's by J. John. Very good book. It's talking about the Ten Commandments. It's a little quote from here, and it says, "Medicine and common sense tell us that a child in the womb experiences consciousness and pain. Christianity teaches that life is valuable from the moment of conception and a fetus is fully human. Since the legalisation of abortion in 1967, over 6 million pregnancies have been terminated in the UK. That's all the facts I'm going to give you, because I think that's enough. That's enough for me. Abortion presents itself as an easy solution, but the one that we need to resist. Some medical students were attending a seminar on abortion where the lecturer presented them with a case study. The father of the family has syphilis and the mother tuberculosis. They have 4 children already. The first is blind, the second died. The third is deaf and dumb, and the fourth has tuberculosis. The mother is now pregnant with her 5th child and is willing to have an abortion if that is what you suggest. So they asked the students, what would your advice be? The students overwhelmingly voted to terminate the pregnancy. Congratulations, the lecturer responded. You have just murdered Beethoven. I've heard that quote before, but it still shocks me every time I read it. You don't know. Every life is valuable. We changed our name a couple of years ago to Pregnancy Choices Swindon, that's our name. We realised that when faced with an unplanned pregnancy, a woman has some choices, even if she doesn't think she has. As a Christian, I have my own beliefs and values around life, but in my work I need to respect that others have their own values. So we work with clients to find out what their values are, and we help them look at their situation, and we provide them information, and the key bit is so that they can make their own informed decision. Okay, so what do we actually do? So we provide counselling for those struggling with an unplanned pregnancy and struggling to know what choice to make. We provide post-abortion, miscarriage and stillbirth counselling. Education. We actually go into a couple of the colleges and take a display stand and talk to them before there's a problem, answer questions, raise awareness of who we are. We offer practical support. We offer baby clothes, baby equipment. Unfortunately, because we have no premises at the moment, we're not doing that at the moment, but we will be doing that again. We also provide a befriending service, which is just finding another Christian who will match up with a client and just be a friend to them and a support on an informal basis. Our service is available for men and for women of any age, from anywhere. And it's confidential and it's free of charge, which is lovely for us to be able to offer. Okay, so my aim today is to inform you, to inspire you, and to perhaps challenge you. But I would just say that if anything is said feels difficult for you, please do speak to somebody after the service. Okay, so what do our clients bring us? They bring us complicated and often very sad stories about their lives. Sometimes it's just the immediate crisis of an unplanned or unwanted pregnancy. These clients often usually only come to see us once. We offer to see them again, but often it's just the once. The hardest part about it is we often don't know the outcome, so we don't know whether they've chosen to have an abortion or to keep the baby. We usually don't know. That's the hardest part of the job for me. They have decisions that they're still trying to justify, but they're obviously not at peace about. There's a conflict. So I just randomly just thought of lots of feelings that clients might come with. I'm not going to read them all out. But these are the sort of things that we clients bring. A whole range of emotions. Any of them, all of them, combinations of them. Okay, so who are we? We're a team of 14 Christians, thereabouts, from various churches all over Swindon. We are all volunteers. I'm actually paid for 3 hours a week doing some admin. Apart from that, no one else is paid. So we are called trained advisors, those that are trained to do the counselling. We have a team of four trustees. One of those is our supervisor, one of those is our treasurer. We have some cleaners and me, the administrator. And we have some prayer partners who pray closely for us. Okay, so where are we? We're currently counselling from the Health Hydro in Milton Road. I don't know if you can see the picture, but the little picture at the bottom, we've got a lovely little cosy room just set up for counselling, and it's wonderful. We're currently looking for our own premises to rent or buy. I have a couple of premises in mind, but nothing's available on the market yet, so keep praying for that, please. Okay, I just wanted to give you some answers for prayer, because I think it's really encouraging to have some answers to prayer. God's really been confirming to us, while we've lost our premises, that he wants us to continue. We have trained advisors, we have a new training course ready to run, we have a new computer, we have office equipment, we have passionate staff that work with us. Basically, we've got everything we need, we just need the premises. Okay, so last year we had to move out of our premises, and I was prompted in the new year to actually get out on the streets and go walk about looking for premises. So I took one of the trustees with me, and it was a grey, miserable day, and we walked up and down Commercial Road, and we were just about to go home, and then I said, well, aren't we going to look at the Health Hydro? So we walked all the way down. Our faith was actually very low at that point. We went into the Health Hydro. Have you got any rooms? No, we haven't got any rooms to hire. Then we met the manager and he said, oh yes, we have, come through. Okay. He took us down this corridor and he took us, we've got this room, we've got this room, we've got this room. Ooh, okay. So as I was stood there, I'm thinking of all the questions I needed to ask. Okay, so we have, it's wheelchair accessible. One of our advisors is currently in a wheelchair. She hasn't been able to access our premises for a while. So that's really important to us because she's really keen to be on board. So wheelchair accessible. It's a great location that people know. Most people in Swindon know the Health Hydro. Good parking and bus routes. It's actually open in the evenings till 10 o'clock at night. Not that we work that late, but we do work early evenings because some people need evening appointments. And it's affordable hourly rate. So we can book whenever we want. So we have regular bookings there for rooms, which is wonderful, absolutely wonderful. So I just want to publicly say thank you to God for this, which is okay for now, but we really want our own permanent home. So we are believing that God's going to provide that for us. And I know he will, it's just the right place. So I'm just going to ask Frank to come and move some chairs for me. And then I'm going to introduce you to one of my colleagues. Pregnancy Choices, we're a team effort, very much a team effort. We always work in pairs. We actually counsel, obviously, on a one-to-one basis, but the other advisor will be in a separate room praying or available if the other person needs help or get any leaflets or anything. So I've been working with Louise for a couple of years or so now. So I've asked her, and I thought I'd interview her so that you don't have to hear my voice all morning. So give a warm welcome to Louise. Welcome, Louise.
Bit booming.
Thank you, Louise, for giving up your Sunday morning.
Well, I'm very glad to. It's lovely to be here. It's great.
Happy birthday again.
Thank you.
Okay, so I volunteered at Pregnancy Choices, I think, for about 11 or 12 years. But you started before us, didn't you?
I started 13 years ago in the first sort of cohort of people that trained as advisors. So, a while ago.
You did. So can you tell everyone why you decided to volunteer?
Yes, I can. The church that I was going to at the time, there was a lady who moved down to Swindon who'd come from, I can't remember where, somewhere up north, I think, and she'd been involved with pregnancy crisis, as it was then, and very much wanted to carry on advising, which is what she'd been doing up in this other place. And she came to Swindon and found that there had been something going on here, but it was at a very, very low ebb. So she soon realised if she wanted to work for Pregnancy Crisis, it was up to her to get it going. So she obviously prayed about it, and she asked if she could have an opportunity like this to talk to our church about her vision, really, and what she would like to do. And when she did, listening, you know, and I felt that kind of, it doesn't happen that often, but that kind of bolt from God where you just
yes, I think God wants me to be involved in this.
And I sort of ignored it a bit. I did come up to her at the end and say, you know, I think God might be speaking to me, but I sort of kind of thought, oh, what's else on? Then she came again and did it again a few months later. I thought, oh, Lord, the same thunderbolt, you know. And I thought, oh. And then she came and spoke to me personally and said, Louise, are you going to get involved? I've got to. So that was the beginning. And there were about 12 of us then who all wanted to do the training together. Working for them since. Yeah.
That's brilliant.
God doesn't let you get away with that one.
Well, no, he didn't. He knew I needed a double whammy. But I've never regretted that.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. So I thought I'd let everyone know why I volunteered, because you might not even know this story. I don't know, but we've talked about it, to be honest. Any of you who know my mum, some of you might do, she's a very maternal lady, so I've always grown up with a very love babies, and that's my thing. I love, I've worked with children in the past. But when I was at college, I was in my early 20s, we trained on a full-time course. One of the students on my course said to me, I'm having an abortion tomorrow. And I did not know what to say to her. I don't think I said anything to her. I think I just went home and cried all night. I just cried for hours. I just realised what she was doing. And I didn't know her closely, but I didn't know what to say. That was one way God was just highlighting something that was really important to me. So then years later, I'd had my first child, and he was about five, just started school. One of my friends came up to me and said, we're setting up a centre, and do you want to train with us to do some counselling? And I went, no. So then she said to me, well, we're looking for someone who's admin. So I said, yeah, I can do that. And that's the sort of thing I'd done before, so they'd get you. Some way, one way or the other, they'll get you. So I did the admin for a year.
And very well.
For a year. It was just a morning a week. My son was at school, so it gave me a purpose to get out of the house and meet people and stuff. After that, they said, do you want to train? And so I'm like, yeah, okay. So I was on the second lot of training. Counselling, doing work with them ever since, really. Back doing the admin, I do a bit of all sorts, really. Okay, so You've seen many clients over the years, I expect, Louise. Yes. Is there any client that stood out for you particularly, or memorable?
There was one who I've certainly never forgotten, and I do forget loads of things, so it was obviously memorable, but lovely young girl came into the centre, I think she was about 17 or 18, and she'd just been offered a place at dance school to do a degree, I guess it was, so she was obviously a talented young woman. But she'd also just discovered Thunderbolt, that she was pregnant. And she was in a complete panic, because she knew that if she had, you know, she couldn't accept the place at dance school and carry on with the pregnancy. So she had a decision to make, and I think she was about the same age as our daughter was then. And so it was like, and she was gorgeous, and she was, you know, talented and lovely and had everything in front of her, you know. And so I talked to her and I talked through, you know, I said, do you realise it's possible to take gaps in your education? You can take time out and you don't have to just think it's, you know, black and white, it's either or, you know, you can do both. And when we counsel, we've kind of got 1 year on God and 1 year on our counselling, our client. And so I said what I felt I could say to her without being coercive in any way, because we're not meant to be biased. We obviously have our own thoughts and beliefs and faiths. So anyway, she eventually went away, and I never knew what she did, and that was, like Rachel said, it's the not knowing that is really, I find that the hardest thing actually. But she was so bright and lovely and all the rest of it, and she's just stuck in. I can remember her name, I can, you know, remember exactly what she looked like, but it was ages ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah.
I don't know.
That
I
is,
don't know.
Like we say, that is sometimes the hardest bit, is not knowing. We just have to do our bit.
Yeah.
We did our bit.
Yeah.
God knows the rest. Yeah. One of mine wasn't actually, there's a person that I remember, I don't know his name or anything, and he wasn't actually a client. He was a boy I saw at college. We were doing a display stand. We have models of the baby's development in the womb. And some of them are made bigger so that you can see them, but some of them are actually life-size. I would have bought them today, but they're all in storage, along with most of our other stuff, so we're very, I haven't got a display stand or anything. Another time I'll bring them. So I'm standing there. Now, he asked me what the abortion limit was. Now, the abortion limit's 24 weeks. So he picked up the baby. It's like in the womb. So you've got like half of the womb, and then the baby that fits in it, the baby actually comes out of it, and it's all like proper size. You can see all the details, and you know. So he just stood there, and he had this in his hand, and he stared at it like, just, and it felt like, for me, it felt like forever. It felt like 5 minutes. It probably wasn't that long. He just stood there. He didn't say a word. He just stood there. It was sinking in, what the age was, what the abortion limit was. And he said to me afterwards, when he finally did speak, he said, I've learned more today than I have ever done in any of my sex education classes. I answered his question and showed him a model, which was just the truth. It was just the truth. It's just what happens. It's the baby. And he put two and two together. He said to me he would think very, very carefully before, you know, sleeping around, getting a girl pregnant. And if he did, he would not just say go and have an abortion, because he'd seen it. And that was one that stuck with me.
That's fantastic.
Absolutely stuck with me. So yeah. So over the years, we've been there a fair while, there's been quite a few ups and downs at the centre.
Yeah.
What's been the most difficult for you?
I think probably changes. I don't find it terribly easy to cope with change, so when people have come and gone, I don't mind new people coming, that's great, just when the old people go, you know, and they move on for one reason or another. And obviously we've had a recent change with premises had to go, we've come to the end of our lease and it was sort of turfed out, as it were, at Christmas, nicely but firmly.
Yeah.
So it was, okay, where do we go from here? And but God provided, like Rachel explained, and we have premises now, well, we have a temporary home. So, yeah, but the changes, I would say, and just having to adapt. And
Yeah. And has there been a highlight for you?
Oh, God. The highlight for me, I would have to say, is when someone comes to you in a crisis pregnancy and you talk them through the options and you're praying like mad that they choose the right one. And maybe they come back again, or maybe they don't. But some of them, months later, obviously months later, because they come usually when they're fairly newly pregnant, they come back with their baby. And that is just, it's like the icing on the cake. You know, it's just, A, you know the outcome, and B, it was, you know, what you were hoping for. Or if you bump it, you might be out shopping or something in town, and oh my word, she's got a pram. And you know that they must have chosen to keep the baby. And that, to me, that's got to be, that is the highlight.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. I was at New College once again doing a display stand, and an older woman came up to me and she said, I don't know who my daughter saw, but she saw one of your people and she wasn't sure whether she wants to keep her baby, but he's two now and we could be without him. I don't know who the advisor was or anything, but it's irrelevant. So she was just wanted to tell me that, I can't believe she even considered not having the baby. He's the joy, he's my grandson. And it was like, that was lovely.
Wonderful.
The boy wasn't with her, but it was still wonderful, and the joy on her face, she just wants to tell us.
Yeah.
So we don't often hear, but occasionally we do.
Yeah, and it's lovely.
It's really lovely. Yeah. So I just wondered if there's any advice that you would give to anyone, because we never know who we're going to come in contact with.
No.
So if you came in contact with somebody who had an unplanned pregnancy, who just said, I'm pregnant, I don't know what to do, or we're crying, or just in a bit of shock, what would you say to just to someone? What advice could they give them all?
I think the first thing that is good to do with anyone who's in that sort of a situation is to try and calm them down, because they will be in a state of panic. You know, they think they've got to do something immediately. They think they've got to make their mind up today as to what they should do about this. And I would try and explain to them or help them to see that actually you haven't got to make an immediate decision. You haven't got to rush. That it's better to deeply consider, you know, write a pros and cons list, take, you know, find a time when you're not going to be, you know, when your attention, where you can really think it through, you know, a quiet time where you can think through rationally and realise that there are, you know, think round the edge, I suppose. If you feel they would benefit from coming to us, we would help them to do that too. But really, my first thing to them would be to try and talk them down to the state of panic, from the state of panic that they will be in. Because it is, I mean, even if you want a baby, it's quite kind of, woo, I'm pregnant, you know. Try and sort of calm the situation so that they can see they've got time to consider it.
That's really good advice. So they just don't panic and go and do something they regret. Thinking it through.
Yeah.
And that's really what we do, but not everyone will want to come to us. So what about someone who's struggling after an abortion or a miscarriage? Because obviously or a stillbirth, that's different. Sometimes that's abortion obviously is a fair choice. Some of the difficulties with that, but stillbirth or miscarriage is of no fault of their own.
No.
So what would you...
And I think even with abortion, while it's their choice, I have seen people who've had abortions that, well, it wasn't really their choice, it was their mum's choice or their partner's choice, or, you know, and that is, you know, so it's not always their choice. So I think it's very important for the, especially with the abortion ones, someone that's had an abortion, not to be judgmental. You know, as Christians, we can be very good at, I'm very holier than thou, but actually, we don't know their situation. And listening is crucial, I think, whether it's lost through any, you know, whether it's a miscarriage or whether it's a cod death or whether it's an abortion. You know, let them talk to you, let them say whatever they want to say. It may have happened very recently, or it may have happened years ago. We've had people who've had situations that something has, you know, maybe they've had a grandchild, and it sort of brought it all back to them, what happened to them 20, 30 years ago. So I would say, give them time, listen to them, let them, you know, give them as much time as they want, and don't be judgmental, just listen. And, you know, you often don't have to say anything much, you're just there, kind of nodding.
That's really good advice, because nothing you say can make it better for them.
Oh, and the other thing that I've just thought of, because, I mean, I had a couple of miscarriages which were devastating for me and for Trevor. I had some not terribly helpful things said to me, like, oh, well, God will use this in the future, and, you know, you'll be able to help others that have had miscarriages. That was so in Christian love, you understand. I just kind of wept on the inside. Or they'll kind of, you know, people can say things like, oh, well, better luck another time, you're in 20, you know, you've got lots of time. Well, that isn't what you need to hear. At that time, what you need to hear is, you know, just arms around you and maybe some flowers, or just time, really. So be careful what you say. You might be thinking it, oh, well, she's got plenty of time left, but
don't say it.
That's
right.
Yeah.
There's a really good resource that you can find on Care for the Family website. I've actually printed off some leaflets, and they're at the back. And they're for people who come in contact with anyone who's had a bereavement, and a bereavement of any sort. And there's the sort of things like Louisa said about the do's and don'ts. So don't say this, but this is what you can say, or this is what you can do. It's just a don't say and do say, or do, you know. Some on the back, and also we can always put the link on the church website or notice sheet or whatever. So if you do want one of them, because you never know when you'll need it. Because I do other counselling as well, if I have a bereavement client, I will have a quick look at that just to remind myself. So, because the last thing you want to do is hurt somebody or make their pain even worse. You want to, and I think we can have a tendency, can't we, to sort of step back and just give someone some space if they've had a bereavement, and because we don't know what to say. Actually, they need people, unless they're saying stay away. They need people. They still need your love and your care. Sometimes we don't know what to do or say. So if you want one of those, please do take one. So Louise, thank you for sharing with us. Is there anything else that we haven't covered, or anything that God's laid on your heart that you wanted to share with us this morning? Anything we've missed? Or?
No, I've done. Not really, I suppose, just to say, you know, we would love to see the work continuing to flourish, and we would love to see it growing. You know, we're a good team, a very good team, but we're always wanting new recruits, whether it's befrienders or advisors. We are, as Rachel said, we're going to be running another, well, she's going to be helping to run, I'm not doing it, another course for advisors later on this year.
Yes.
So for vision, you know, and expansion for new premises, new people,
just an expanding.
Absolutely.
More
of the same, but different.
We just want to go forward. We're in a bit of a holding situation at the moment without premises, but we have the vision. As soon as we get the premises, we're gonna.
And in the meantime, I mean, even though we're in temporary premises, we have new plants.
Yes, we have new plants.
Which is so encouraging. Yeah. You know, yeah. It has worked yeah. anyway.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Yeah,
God's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Louise. I really appreciate that.
Nice to be here.
Thank you.
Okay, so as Louise has mentioned, there are various ways that you can help us, or you may want to help us. Okay, so you can pray for us. We really, really appreciate your prayers. We produce a monthly prayer diary. Well, actually, Louise writes it. There is some copies at the back. They're on the end of the coffee table, so I thought I'd nab you. When you get your coffee, you won't miss the leaflets. So take one. If you would like it monthly, I know some of you already get it. If you would like it monthly, just write down your, preferably your name and your email address. If you haven't got email, write your postal address and we will put it in the post to you or bring it to church for you. If you just want to take one and see what it's like and if it's helpful for you, please do take one. We're always looking for people to train with us. We're running a new course in the autumn. Don't know the dates yet. It will be Saturdays, I think about 5 Saturdays. So if you're interested, you can ask for some more information or put your details on the back sheet. You can fundraise or donate for us. We do a few fundraising events during the year. We're currently looking to book and do a quiz for later in the year, and maybe a concert. So when I have the dates, I'll give them to you. So when we have premises, you can donate baby clothes and or knit blankets if any of you like knitting. Clients absolutely love knitted blankets. We have a lot of ladies that knit cardigans and stuff for us. We get loads of those, but actually knitted blankets or shawls, they go down really, really well. Because lots of the young girls don't have grandmas who are knitting for them, so they love that. You could offer to be a befriender, like a friend. What we do is when we need someone to be a befriender, we ask around the churches. We have a few people who might want to do it for us, but we just put an announcement around some churches if we have a need for that. So I put other on the end because I thought God will always give you other ways of helping us. So I just wanted to open out, if you have a gift or a talent, or you think, this is what I might be able to give to the centre, do ask, because we're always open to you might have a different way of helping us. So I do appreciate you listening this morning. This is our telephone number, our email address, and our web address. And my son is currently doing a new website, which will be up live soon. So if you keep watching it, I did try and get him to come this morning. But I just want to thank him for doing the website for us. So Louise and I will be around afterwards for half an hour or 20 minutes or whatever. So if you've got any questions, please do come and ask us. There are business cards and leaflets at the back. Please take whatever you want, you know, because then you can have a little read, see what we do. Or you've got a business card to pass to somebody, should you come in contact with someone or hear of someone that might need us. So we're open for any questions or comments after the service. Thank you ever so much.
Yeah, thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Louise.